obtuse involved, I believe. If I'm wrong, please feel free to correct me. But I think we last mentioned Sipay, and then we're up to Sipay. The Jew did a little divisional, but the beginning of the end is mutter. If, let's say, a goy puts the steak or the on the grill or the pot on the stove, and then a Jew makes it cook faster by flipping it or stirring it, and that's good enough, because even though the guy made it start cooking, the Jew made it finish quicker. Likewise, if a Jew makes it start cooking, and the guy makes it finish cooking, that's both mutter. So the Ermekel here, you don't look who did the main part of the cooking, who did the secondary part of the cooking. If a Jew accomplishes any part of the cooking, whether starting it or making it finish quicker, then that is good enough. Okay, we'll have to see the limits of this in the details in the next couple of se'ifim. The Ramah, he already adds a comment. Even if, and this the Mechaber and the Soma would not agree with, even if it wouldn't have been cooked without the goy, meaning a Jew puts it on the stove, and without the goy flipping it, or without the goy stirring it, it wouldn't have cooked at all. Or you could also say, a Jew puts it on the stove, and without the goy stoking the fire, it wouldn't have cooked at all. This is a big chiddush, this Rama, because the Mechaber just said, if the Jew starts it cooking, and then it would have cooked, that's good enough. Even the goy makes it quicker. Or, if the goy starts, and the Jew makes it quicker, that's good enough. But here, the Jew is causing some actual bishul. The Chiddush Torah is, even if the Jew's actions would never have led to Bishul, the Jew put it in such a way that it would never have gotten cooked without help of the Goy, it's still Mutter. The Nosei Kalim are very perplexed about this. As a matter of fact, the Gra goes so far as to say, Tezayin, a strong Lashon, the Gemara Mevur Hepech Zeh. The Gemara, it's the opposite. Okay, then he says Ayin Neshach, so it's not so clear. He's rejecting the Ramah. He might just be pointing out the problem. The problem is clear. The Gemara says before, if you say it's a case where it wouldn't have cooked based on the Jew, Pasha Aser. So how can the Ramah go against the Gemara? So there are two answers. This is a fundamental machlokas between the Shach and the Taz. How the Ramah can go against the Gemara? The Taz says that here you have to get into the Gemara. I'm not going to get into the Shach and the Tari in the Gemara. The Taz says that the Ramah is based on the end of the Gemara. He's against the middle of the sugya, but he's based on the end of the sugya. The Ramah assumes this line in the sugya was a havamina, and the Maskana, they changed their mind. Why? Because the Gemara, without getting into every line, the Gemara says, the Jew did this part mutter, that part mutter, it says, what's the case? And the Gemara basically says, what the Jew did wouldn't accomplish anything, that's not mutter. And then at the end of the sugya, they say, it doesn't matter, as long as the Jew did one part of the cooking, it's okay. So the Taz understands, to defend the Ramah, that at the end of the Gemara is going back on what they said in between. In the middle of the Gemara said that if the Jew's action would not have led to anything, it's still usher. But at the end of the Gemara, they changed their mind. Okay, so the end of the Gemara, they changed their mind. That's a valid psak of the Ramah.
Why does the Gras seem so...
No, the Gras says Ayin Shach. It's not exactly what he means. He just makes the question very strong.
Doesn't the Ramah also require a napshat reading of the Gemara? Because doesn't the Gemara say that it's not Hishalakim until the non-Jew has done the beginning and the end of the cooking? So if it wouldn't have been cooked by the Jew, then doesn't that mean that the non-Jew is doing the beginning and the end of the
according cooking? To everyone but the Taz. But the Taz says that when it says Elim in the Gemara, the Inu Asr Shit Chalasim Gemara Yadu Kham Hadr Begim Sarzu, the Maskana Gemara is only also beginning and end is in the hands of a gun. And that Maskana... Basically, here's the Maskana. Maskana of the Gemara, the end of the Gemara is that Ein no Aser, Ella and Cain, the Lusso the Gumro, the Yad God. So, how did the Mechaber understand this, and most Mepharshim understand this? Mechaber, right? But, if a Jew does something effective, then mutter, because the Jew has to do something effective. However, the Taz says no. This is disagreeing, rejecting the Shakva Tarya. The Taz reads it, but if a Jew does anything, even something ineffective, then it's mutter. That's how the Taz defends the Ramah. The Shach defends the Ramah in a different fashion. What does the Shach say? Shach say that the Gemara is like the Mechaber. The Gemara means what the Mechaber says. But we don't hold like the Gemara. Meaning he admits the Ramah is against the Gemara, but says we don't have to hold like the Gemara. Okay, he's based on the Tosos. And since when do we not hold like the Gemara? So he says, Nehid midina d'shas aser mikol makom yam chito v'kisim aser midina d'shas v'afilu hachi anu matirim. What does he say? Tosos quotes, I mentioned the Sefer Chilufei Minhagim between Bei Mizrach and Bei Ma'arav, meaning there's a Sefer that's different than Minhagim between the Babylonian and the Palestinian Jews in the time of the Goanim. And in that Sefer it says the minhag of the Babylonian Jews was that even if you just throw a little twig into the fire, that's good enough, it matters all the bread. And that does not necessarily seem to be shot in the Gemara, at least Tosos assumes it's not shot in the Gemara. So he says, what do we hold? We hold what we don't hold like the Gemara, but rather like minhag b'nei Mizrach, right? Mizrach is Babel, right? The minhag b'nei Mizrach, that any symbolic action suffices.
Isn't that Sitzai? What's the source of that again? And it should be the Mechaber holds as much as the Gemara holds as
right. Well,
are
they both?
No. The Mechaber, this has nothing to do with the Mechaber, meaning Mizrach and Ma'arav have nothing to do with...
No, but minhag Babel went to this Friday.
No. Don't believe everything you read. It's not quite as poshut as people make it out to be. You know, it's partially true, but not as poshut as people make it out to be. In general, that's true. But over here, we're talking about two competing Babylonian minhagim, meaning Talmud Bavli versus Minhag Bavli in the literature of the Gaonim. So the Mechaber passed like Talmud Bavli, and the Ramah followed Tosos in passing against the Talmud Bavli like the Minhag Bnei Bavli. Exactly, meaning what the Shach claims is, now we'll see other Pshat from Sif Zayin in a moment. This is one way of learning Sif Zayin. Okay? This is one way of learning Sif Zayin. Now, let us go to Sif Zayin. As Zev points out, this really seems to be the issue of Sif Zayin, so let's go to Sif Zayin.
What do you mean when you wrote effective
and ineffective? Meaning it would have ever led to cooking, or it would never have led to cooking.
Why does that have to go with effective and ineffective?
Okay, you could... You don't have to.
Bishul is a Talmud, right? Like the Maran Shabbos says, somebody wrote this.
Okay, I agree. But in the context of this discussion, this is where they're drawing the line. Okay, so that is Sifbav. Now let's go to Sifzayim, which is really you could use different words, but that's what they're discussing here. Sifzayim is the famous Machlokes in Ashkenazim and Sfardim. Ein Shgiras Hatander Moelis El Bapasik. Says the Mechaber, lighting the fire only works the matter pasakel. That's a mefurish gemara. The gemara says, if the Jew lit the fire, that's good enough, or if the Jew put in the bread, that's good enough. So it's a mefurish gemara that lighting the fire is matter pasakel. Question is it also matter bishalakel? So, says the Mechaber, ain't shigur satan rel zel vapasim. Bashar mispashal ain't shigur satan rel lo kzaish malavim lord. Right? Lighting the fire does not help at all. Right? Ela hanocha davka. It's only putting the food on the stove that helps. Lefika harotza levashal v'machlas v'tamshol v'chom. Therefore, if you want to cook in a pan, in a goyish stove, somebody took out a pan, because you wouldn't put your food straight on the goyish stove, so it's straight that you put in the pan. A Jew has to put the pan into the oven into a place hot enough to cook. Meaning, it doesn't help for a Jew to light the stove. Not like we do in all the Ashkenazi establishments, right? The Mashgiach comes in the morning and lights the stove and then they go and cook all the food. No, a Jew has to actually put this food in the oven, and remember this is the Mechaber talking, it's not even enough for a Jew to put something in the, like, opening of the oven where it's like a little hot. because then it would never cook there. A Jew has to put it in the oven in a place where it could cook, right? That's the macabre. Let's just tell us, a Jew has to do a mice that it could cook. Of course, if the Jew put it someplace where it could cook, and then the guy moved it to someplace where it would cook a little quicker, that's okay. But the Jew has to put it someplace where it would cook. That's the chumra of the Sfarim. The Rama argues and says, Yishchokin, Sfirilei, Dev, Lakhza Eish, Okay, this is a big machlokas. What about, right, various things? Number one, the one thing that's mafurish in Shas is Shvira Satana, right? Meaning, hadlaka seish, lighting the fire. So the Mechaber says it works for pas, but not for bishul. Mechaber says, right, mehani lehatir pas, the low tavshil.
The Russian of the Gemara is Shvira Satana?
Yeah.
That doesn't mean light.
So it's interesting, in the parentheses here it says Shvira means havara. Really Shvira Satana seems to be more like putting the fuel in the tanner and lighting it. And that's, in the Lashon of the Mechaber it actually works better than putting in the fuel and lighting it. The Rama says it works lepas ulatavshim. Now, of course, who is the smoother svar? The Rama or the Mechaber? Which is the easier svar to understand?
Mechaber.
Really? I said the Rama. He equates pas and tavshil. It's one rule. The rule is that you have to do something. Something could be putting the food, something could be lighting the fire. Those are both very important things.
But it says in the Gemara that you need the tchila.
What?
It says in the Gemara that you need the tchila.
And it says tchila, so maybe the tchila also includes lighting the taina. That just wasn't the topic of that exact line. Although I hear the taina. That is the taina. So here the svara is pashat. Right? The svara is pashat that lighting the fire counts as part of the cooking. After all, it's a very important part of cooking. What's the svara for the machaber? So Ellie suggests that, right, there's svara and there's makar, right? Svara and makar are not the same. Makar doesn't give you svara doesn't give you a makar. The makar, the machaber, might be that when it came to pas, they talked about lighting the fire. When it came to cooking meat, they only talked about putting it on and flipping it. They never talked about lighting the fire. Okay, so he has like a hint in the Gemara that they only discussed lighting the fire when it came to pas. But obviously, you know, you need a svara. What's the svara? Why should there be a difference between pas and tavshil? So, what's the svara? What is the taz right? Yes, the taz right is two svaras, no? No, you write one svara. Okay. What's the svara of the Ran?
If I bread it, the fire must be gedil.
Exactly. By bread, it's more of a malacha. Because the way they used to do the bread, and remember how they used to do bread? They used to like stick the bread in the oven. If you stick the bread in the oven, again, not like nowadays when you go to like a national park and they do pizza baking, etc., on one of those like upside down wok thingies. They used to have a big oven. They would fill it with fuel, right? They would burn the wood or burn the coals, and then they would bake bread. How do you put bread in the oven if it's full of coals? So you would have to move the coals, you have to burn it, make sure it gets the right heat, and then move the coals, or sweep them out, or move them aside so you can have a place to stick your bread. It was a much bigger deal. It was a much more work to fuel the oven for baking bread than for cooking food. Because cooking food, you cook your food, maybe you cook in a pot or in a grill or something, so you don't have to work so hard. Just make sure there's a fire when you put your food, so you don't have to work so hard. As opposed to when you're baking bread, you have to make sure it's the right heat, and then sweep it away and make sure it stays the right heat, so you can bake your bread. So that's what he says. He says, Shkiras Hataner is a bigger task for baking bread. But it's a smaller task when it comes to cooking bishul, and that's why the cooking food, and that's why it doesn't count. The Rambam has a very different approach, says the Rambam. The Rambam says it's not a practical approach, it's a fundamental approach. He says there's a fundamental difference between the Gzera of Tavshil and the Gzera of Pas. Right? Why is a good question. But he says when it came to Tavshil, you mamash needed you to cook. When it came to Pas, it's enough to just have a hecker. It's enough to just have some reminder that we're different from the Goyim, that we don't eat their bread. So he says, he said, it's a fundamental difference. What? What'd you say? No, in the Mishnah Torah.
in the Mishnah Torah. The Rambam says in the Mishnah Torah, Hilchos Machlos Asuros, what perek would this be? It should be around if I can find it, I don't want to take too much time. He says here, here we are. Hidle ka'akam satanah v'ofubo Yisrael, etc. And even if the Jew only stirred the fire, or even threw in one twig, it's enough to just have a hecker that their bread is off. So all you need is a hecker. You don't need a Jew to really cook. It's enough to just have a hecker.
Since the Chazar brings
down
the
Lashon
of the Rambam, you just quote word for word. How can you say the first
sparrow? What? I'm not.
Word for word, the Rambam you just wrote.
Great.
So how can you say the first svara that you gave?
That's a svara in the Shita. It doesn't have to be a svara in the Mechaber himself. It's a svara in the Shita. Okay. But as opposed to. When it comes to Bishul, he says Kosher Bishul Yisrael Ma'at Bishulo, and he only says the Jew has to actually participate in the cooking. Okay, so the fundamental difference in Pas, you just need a hecker. When it comes to Bishul, then you need actual Bishul Yisrael. Okay, why? So it's not clear why we're making a pas fundamentally. It could be because of the whole Yom Chayim Nefesh, it's more necessary, so they were less strict. Or it could be because there's less chasnas, because it's not such a fancy food. There's more chasnas in pas, because it's more necessary, or less chasnas, because it's less special. Right? It's double-edged sword. It's more necessary, it's more important. But on the other hand, it's less special, because it's just a staple, it's a necessity. Okay, so anyway, the Rambam's were making a pas. L'maisa, this is the svar of the Machaber. And the Rambam disagrees. He quotes the Ramban and Tosos and many Rishonim, who say, no, we equate pas and tavshol, and why do we have to be mechadish differences between them? Now, however, in this if, it's not only a question of shkiras hatanah. By the way, the Achronim point out, if the goy would put the food in the oven first, and then the Jew would light the oven, even the Mechaber would be nekel. Why? Because the guy did nothing. He put food in a cold place. The Jew did all the mishal. The machlokas here is only when first the Jew lit the oven and then the guy put the food on. That's all the achronim right here. And it makes sense. Because then the guy is really causing cooking. All the Jew did was light a fire with no food in it. On the other hand, a fire is a very important thing. And that's the machlokas. The machlokas here is when first... First the Jew lit the oven, and then the guy put the food. That's when it's a machlokes, because the Machaber would say, the Jew didn't do anything. What did he do? He lit an oven with no food there. That's not cooking. And the Rambam would say, no, fire is such an important part that it's still mutter. Now, the few other cases also. What else is the Rambam making on? His second thing is chitoy b'gecholim, right? Chitoy b'gecholim. What if the Jew just stokes the fire? He raises the flame, right? Here, it's a bit of machlokas. The Gemara does talk about the Jew being mahapich. So, the Mechaber and the Rambam understand that means the Jew flipped the meat. But you could say, no, it just means that you flip the coals, and there might be a mukkah for chitoy in the Gemara. So that's unclear. Is there a mukkah in the Gemara that says that you mahapech the gecholim that's good enough, or the Gemara only meant to be mahapech the basar that's good enough? So the Mechaber would say chitoy doesn't help. But the Rama says that chitoy does help. Here we have another big machlokes. There are three chitas here.
sorry, I keep switching colors, not for any lumpish reason, just because they're all running out of ink. The Mechaber, Alpi, the Rambam, says Osir. What's the Mechaber Svara? It only counts as Bishul Yisrael if you do something with the food. Right? The Svara is, it's only Mutter if the Jew does, or if the Jew cooks by touching the food. Right? Remember, it's enough that the Jew makes it cook faster, but he has to make it cook faster by stirring the food or flipping the food. If he makes it cook faster by stirring the coals, which for sure can make it cook faster sometimes. Sometimes the coals are dying. It can take 3 hours. If you just soak the coals, it'll take 20 minutes. No, the Jew has to touch the food. That's the sheet of the Sfardim. However, the Ashkenazim disagree. What is the Svaras? The Ramban says that it's mutter if it is mekari bishulo. And usher, if not. He says it depends. If the Jew stokes the coals, that really makes it cook quicker. That's Makar Bishul. I mean, what's the difference if he's Makar Bishul by flipping the burger or by flipping the coals? Right? He makes it cook faster. However, if the Jew stokes the coals and nothing happens, then that doesn't make it usher. So, that's the svar of the Ramban, which is very logical, right? The Ran, however, the Ran and Tosfos say it's always mutter if the Jew stokes the coals. However, for two different reasons. What's the reason? The Ran says because it's always mekari bishulo. It always hastens the cooking. Meaning, what do you mean you stoked the coals and it didn't make it cook faster? He says to the Ran. Means you didn't notice it cooked a lot faster. But by definition, when you stoke the coals, it raises the heat. A physicist will tell you if you raise the heat, it'll cook faster. Maybe it'll cook 3 seconds faster, right? But you can't raise the heat and have it cook at the same time. By definition, if you add heat, it has to get cooked faster. I think that's what a physicist would say. That's the Ran things, at least. So, to the best of the Ran and my knowledge of physics, if you stoke the coals and raise the flame, it has to cook faster. The Ramban would say, yeah, but it has to be significant. The Ram would say no, even if it's not significant. If it cooks 1 second faster, that's called Bishul. Tosfos says that no, the Chitoy works because this is going back to the same Tosfos over there, right? He doesn't use the Lashon of the Rambam. But I'm going to put the Lashon of the Rambam into Tosfos because any symbolic action is matir. How do we know any symbolic action is matir? If you read the Gemara talks about accomplishing things, right? You make it go faster and you make it cook. Mehechim tesi symbolic action is matir, so Tosfos knows. I'll pee the Babylonian Talmud. That doesn't work. But I'll pee the Babylonian tradition. That does work. I'll pee Sefer Chilufei HaMinhagim. I should have brought in the Sefer. It's a really interesting, fun Sefer. Based on the Sefer Chilufei HaMinhagim, then we follow the Minhag Nebavel, and even though, again, Shmuley's rights on the story tell us often when Tosfos says Minhag Ashkenaz deviates from Talmud Babli, it's because we follow Palestinian Minhagim. But in this case, Tosfos said Minhag Ashkenaz deviates from Talmud Babli because we follow Babylonian Minhagim. That could be also. The real historians tell us that when the earlier Jewish historians said that Ashkenazi Jews followed more Palestinian traditions than and Sephardic Jews followed more Babylonian traditions, it meant Sephardic Jews followed 99% Babylonian traditions with a little Eretz Yisrael, and Ashkenazi Jews followed only 90% Babylonian traditions with 10% Eretz Yisrael. But we all followed basically Babylonian traditions, so it doesn't surprise us if Tosfos says we follow Sefer Chilufei HaMinhagim in the Babylonian side. That shouldn't surprise you. I mean, no one follows real Eretz Yisrael traditions, right? We don't. None of us have a triennial cycle. None of us have 18 brachos in Shemona Esrei. I mean, the real difference is we're all Babylonian.
What's nothing between the Ramban and the Ran?
The nothing is the Ramban would say if it doesn't look like it's really quicker, then it's usher.
Oh, it actually look like.
Yeah, has to be noticeable.
Can we say nafkamina for the Ron and Tosis is that even if it's not quicker at all, as long as there's some type of hecker, then Tosis would say it's fine, the Ron would say that it's not fine?
Yes, meaning but like, that's not enough nafkamina, because the Ron would say it always makes it quicker.
There's no way that it would never make it quicker, according to the Ron?
No, that's the whole shita. Right? To explain the Ramban, he has to have say noticeable, and the Ran says even if it's not noticeable, it's a fact. So the nafkamina between Tosos and the Ran would be, I'm not sure.
Yeah, let's say they want to move away from the fire to move less, it's slower.
It could be even Tosos would say that wouldn't help.
Okay. Is Makarit Bishulo related to Tchila and Gemura, or it's a separate?
Yeah, no, that's what the Gemara means by Gemara in the Sugya. So in which case, the Ramban makes the most sense based on the sugya. If the Jew is gomer, he's gomer. The Machaber is a little more mach. He says, no, you have to be gomer by touching the food. And the Ramah is a little more makil. He says, no, either you're always gomer, even if it doesn't look like it, or we follow the minhag bavli. So, of course, this is the Ramah. Ashkenazim say, even chitoy helps. Now, then we get to some other issues. Continuing the Ramah, v'afilu chitoy below kavana v'hanimol. Even if the Jew does chitoy without kavana, that still helps. Meaning, what does he mean without kavana? I don't think he means like he tripped and just landed on the coals. I mean, his kavana wasn't to matir bishul akum. Let's say, like the earlier Rabbi, his kavana was just to keep warm in the fireplace. Right? Even if his kavana wasn't to matir bishul akum, wasn't to cook the food, his kavana was for something else, that's good enough. Even if he just wants to warm up the fireplace so he can stay warm in a cold winter day, that is good enough. That was the assumption of Ramban Sifdalit. The Yesh Omrim, go a little further. Hold on, all of a sudden we have Hishlach Kisam, right? So, the assumption is that the Ramah thought that we already know the Minhag Ashkenaz is that even throwing in a Kisam is good enough. This is called Hashlachas Kisam. What does Hashlachas Kisam mean? It means you throw one twig into the fire. This is the actual example brought in the Minhagim. Hilufim Minhagim, the name Israel, the name Arab. The Babylonian Jews was that they would go to the Goyish bakery, throw in one twig, and that would be good enough. So, Agav, I should tell you, remember, the Rambam and Mechaber agree with this minhag bavel. They just think it's only about Kass. And the Tosfos and the Ramah thinks this minhag bavel is even by Tafshil. Here it is a big machlokas. What about this Kisam? So, like one little twig. So basically, you can imagine here, the Mechaber would say, obviously, Aser. The Ramban says, Mefurish, it's Aser. Why? Because one twig doesn't make it cook faster. And Tosos said, Mefurish, Mutter. And Mestama, the Ran should also say Mutter. Because the Ran would say, it does make it cook faster. Maybe a microsecond. But every twig makes it cook 1 microsecond faster. And it's also say Pasha. That's the minigame bundle that we just need to have a symbolic action. So Kisam is very similar to Chitoy, except for the fact that, meaning if you hold, Chitoy doesn't work because the fire doesn't count, only touching the food counts. Obviously a twig doesn't help. If you hold the fire works like the Ron or Tosfos across the board, then a twig would help. If you hold like the Ramban, then a Chitoy might help because that's a big change. A Kisam is a small change, would never help. Okay, but the Ramah obviously holds that a Kisam is good enough. Continuing, the Ramah ends the Yesh Omer, Nafilo Chit Yeshov Lo Hishol Shom Kisam, Racho Yikom Hidle Ka'ish Ve'eshel Yisrael Shari. Even if the Jew did nothing, the guy did everything, but he took the fire from a Jew, of course, what do we call that in, I wouldn't say modern day, but in, when I was growing up, what was this issue? The issue of the pilot light. I don't think anyone has pilot lights anymore nowadays. But the Koshi people have gas stoves. But when I was growing up, there's something called a pilot light. What did that mean? How does a gas stove work? A gas stove works that it sends in gas, right? But sending gas, you need a spark to light it. What lights the fire in the gas stove? So, before my days, if you had a gas stove, how did you light the fire? You'd strike a match to light the gas. I don't know if they had that when you were growing up.
It's
a game. You have to play very carefully, right? You light the match too early, there's not going to be enough gas there. You wait till the whole room fills with gas and don't light the match and you blow up your house. So then they decided we have to come up with something clever. So they came up with something called a pilot light. What is a pilot light? That inside the stove, like if there are four burners, like under the top of the stove in between the four burners usually. You have to lift up the whole top of the stove, like open up the stove, like if you're a technician or something. And there's one like there that the gas always flowed to a very low flame.
A narrow tunnel.
And it obviously was a bit of a waste of gas, quote unquote, but it was worth it because it just helped with the safety issues. The gas always flowed to that pilot light, and you lit it, and 24/7 all the time that light was lit. And that was right, maybe much easier enough to. And whenever you lit one of your burners, it just took the flame, like it rooted the gas through there, and then it lit, and that was very easy. And then the question: did you like the pilot light? Maybe the guy's allowed to cook, but the guy is taking the H from the H of Yisrael. Right, nowadays, there's no other examples of that. Like in those days, you understand, you need a tinder box, it was a big pain. Usually, if you wanted to light something, you would take light from someone else's fireplace. So yeah, if you had a fireplace, the guy took fire from there, great. So could you light the pilot light? That would be a heter. That's the idea of taking from the H of a Jew. Nowadays, that's not so practical anymore, because now they don't have pilot lights. Now all the gas stoves have electrical ignition. You have to plug them into the wall. And the way you light it is you press a button and it uses electricity. At one time, they didn't want to make the gas stoves totally on electricity. Now everyone has electricity, and you can count on electricity. So use the electricity to create a spark to light it, and there is no pilot light anymore. So that doesn't help so much.
We still have a pilot light in my parents' house.
Maybe they have an old stove.
Lechor?
I don't think they bought the stove in the last 20 years.
No.
If they have a stove from before you were born, then they still have a pilot light. It's not even... You're allowed to keep your old stoves. There's a law against it. But I'm saying they don't sell stoves with pilot lights anymore.
What's the svara behind that? Because there's no concept of like stealing fire, so why is it
bad? Okay. So this is a big machlokas. What about just taking from the hidlik me eish shel yisrael. This is a machlokas ben akotze el akotze. It's interesting. It's the opposite of kisam. You get two svaras. Says the Ran, it's worse than kisam or hitoy. It's worse than a twig. Why? Because it has nothing to do with this cooking. Right? It's not related to this cooking. Right? Because the Maisa Yisrael is not connected to this special. However, says the Ramban, the Gamri Lehefef, it's better than Kisa. Meaning, the Ran says a twig is good enough, but this isn't because it's not connected. The Ramban says, no, this is better than a kisam. Why? Because this makes the whole cooking possible. Without this, there'd be no cooking. Because it causes the whole cooking. Right? Because without the Jew, there would be nothing. So if you look at like how necessary the Jew was, then you'd say, for sure, this is mutter. After all, without the Jew, you'd have nothing. There'd be no fire. You'd be, pre-caveman. On the other hand, if you look at whether the Jew is relevant to this special, you say, what do you mean? He lit a fire 3 years ago. It's not relevant to this special. So you can look at it very different ways. L'maisa, the Ramah based on the Maharam, is makel on all these cases. L'maisa, the Ramah is makel on all these cases. The Mechaber is machmer on everything, but she does. The Ramah is makel on everything, even on the pilot light. And that's what all the Jews did in all the generations.
So the Jew is the one who turns on it concurrently.
I wouldn't go that far. It has to be at least, a fire. You see more how the fire comes from there. I wouldn't go so far as the electric current. That's very tricky. Like, when the Jews turn on the electric current, that doesn't really do anything. It has to be a circuit. I don't know. I wouldn't go that way. You have to be more of a physicist, but I wouldn't go that way. Okay, Lamaisa, this is the issue. The Minhag Svarad. For all the years we've been operating this, the Jew has to touch the food. Now that is to touch the food in a way that I will defect it, meaning either put the food in a way where it could eventually cook, or flip or stir the food in a way that makes it cook faster. But you have to touch the food. And the Ramah says you don't have to touch the food, anything goes.
Clearly, it would work best according to the symbolic Derech of Tosos. You can light the fire, you can stoke the fire, you can throw a twig into the fire, you can provide the pilot light for the fire, you can put the food in a place where it's not going to get cooked because it's too low of a heat, and then let the guy move it to the higher heat. Any participation the Jew is good enough. The Minhag Ashkenaz throughout all the generations have been like the Rambah. However, not all the Achronim are so happy about it. There are some Achronim who make Psharas. Three main Psharas in the Achronim in Minhag Ashkenaz is, well, the Rambah says everything's mutter. The Gra drew the line. The Gra, like the Ran here, says the Gra someplace here. Batam, Kamoshuas Aran, Dekruy Bishol Milsa. Lomadavkumarizov, etc. He says, Shara says the Gra. Chitoy works. Basically, what's his? Let me say this over a little better. Says the Gra. Well, Chitoy Mahani Hadlakas Ha'esh Lo Mahani. What does he mean by this? Anything a Jew does when it's already cooking works, because he makes it cook faster. Whatever a Jew does before it starts cooking doesn't work. That's the sheet of the Gra. It says once it's cooking, the Jew can turn off the stove a little. But lighting it before it's cooking doesn't work. Certainly the pilot light doesn't work. The Taz makes a different Shara, right here. Says the Taz, Bibbeis Yisrael Mutter, Bibbeis Goy Aser. Right, difference in your housekeeper and a kashrus agency. What does he say? Who, obviously, which sheet is he being mitzarif here? The sheet of? What sheet is he being mitzarif? Yeah. Rabbeinu Avraham, right? He says, well, if you also have Rabbeinu Avraham and you're like the Jewish house, okay, your housekeeper, it's all mutter, light the pilot light, turn it up a little, that's fine. But in a goyish store, it's all usher. And the Chachmas Adam says, lechatchila usher, bibi eved mutter. He says, you know what, all these things, lechatchila, we shouldn't be so much on the Rambam, because it's controversial, but yeah, but we can. So halacha l'maaseh, there are many different opinions among the Ashkenazi Achronim. The Rambam says that it's all mutter, legabri. The Gra says, throwing in a twig or stirring it once it's already cooking is matter, because that's in the cooking process. Lighting the fire beforehand is not. The Taz says, in a Jew's house it can be mako, but in a Goy's house it can be macher. Chachzom says, lechatchila be macher, but in yeah, but be mako. The minhag of the Ashkenazi belt nowadays is still like drama. Right? Even though a lot of the Achronim were machir, the minhag of Ashkenazi was like drama. In the factories, they rely on the Mashkiach lighting the fire. In the restaurants, they rely on the Mashkiach lighting the fire. What? I'll get back to that in 30 seconds. Lemaisa, I've seen someone wrote in one of these newspapers recently. He said, it's terrible, the whole thing, all of our restaurants are not right, and we're not living up to our standards because we're all relying on the Ramah, and many of the Achronim were machmir more than the Ramah. And so people try to try and change the minhag. But Lamaisa, the minhag among Ashkenazim is like the Ramah, even though some of the Achronim were nervous, the minhag is still like the Ramah. Those who want to be machmir can be machmir, but the minhag of them is like the Ramah.
I thought that the Mahadran Kashrut agencies in Israel.
But that's only in Israel because there's a lot of Sfarim.
Right, in America. No, right, in America.
But in America, even the very firm Hasidim are not Macher.
Right, why you can't?
Is or isn't?
No.
Okay. Because the why you can't is Eurocentric, like most places in America. Eurocentric means they discriminate against people from third world nations like Sfarim. What?
You're watching the guy do the whole cooking, doesn't
No. Nothing to do with anything. Okay.
Okay,
now, the Wayu Kaf is not terribly Sephardi friendly. Although,
told that there are leniencies for Sephardim.
Aha! So are there leniencies for Sephardim? Let me, I mean this in a very respectful fashion, but does anyone want to guess if there were leniencies for Sephardim?
Who might have said them?
Says
Rav Avadya. I will quote you the Makor. Says Rav Avadya. In Yechaveh Das Chilek Hey Simin Nun Dalad. And I will read to you. Guess what the basis of his heter is for Sfardi. Basically, the question is this. You say you're a Sfardi, and you live in... You live in New York, you live in Chicago, you live in, Chicago, there probably isn't even such a strong Sephardi community, right? You live in Chicago, or you live in Boston, or you live in Boca Raton, and there's not so many Sephardi, and all the restaurants and everything just has, all the restaurants have a Jewish mashgiach lighting the stove in the morning, and then the guy and cook. I remember when I went to college, that's what I did in college, we had a kosher kitchen. How did the kosher kitchen work? There were no Jews cooking in the kosher kitchen. Every morning, the Jew went and lit all the, turned on all the equipment, and then the goyim cooked all day long. And the goyim were very, very, very firm about it. They knew, exactly. They were very machved. The goyim were very God-fearing goyim. And if chas v'shalom, something happened and something went wrong with one of them and a machine turned off, they wouldn't move until the Jew turned it back on. They were very good about it. But still, what does Sfardim do? How can Sfardim eat? So says Rav Avadya, right? He says, "Im kein yishlonu sfeik sfeik alahatir shem aloch ga posvam asovim shagam bishul goyim yitir behezgal leYisrael v'lorakim hasakum." The intent long to rechok him shem aloch ga omer shepolim storm base Yisrael yeish lahakel. What does he say? He says, "Look, these are all Jewish restaurants." The kosher restaurants, the Kaf is a Jewish restaurant, right? Thank Goyim don't own kosher restaurants, right? There's also no man there, it's Israel. That was his original question. It was in Israel, the place that has a Tudah from the Rabbanot. But they're not machmer for all the chumrot of the Sfardim. And the Arabs, the Jew lights the fire, and the Arab puts the meat on the fire. So he says, in all these cases, fake steak, maybe the halach is like the Ramah, maybe like the Mechaber. And even the halach is like the Mechaber, maybe the halach is like Rabbeinu Avraham. Maybe the halach is like the Mechaber. Basically, it comes out like the Taz. But we can't steak steak. And notice, this is a steak steak, even though both of the steakas are against the Mechaber. That's what he writes. You're allowed to make a steak steak, even if both steakas are against the Mechaber. And he says it could be, even though the Mechaber is machmir on a goyish worker in a Jewish house. And even though the Mechaber is machmir if the Jew only lit the stove. If it was a sveik sveika, and a Jew lit the stove, plus it was in a Jewish house or a Jewish restaurant, maybe it would have been mako, and therefore, says Rav Avadya, sveik sveika, what's a sveik sveika? Maybe like the Ramah, maybe like the Mechaber. If it's like the Ramah, it's mutter. Even if it's like the Mechaber, maybe it's like Rabbeinu Avraham, or maybe it's like the other Rishonim, and if it's like Rabbeinu Avraham, it's mutter. And if it's like the other Rishonim, it's Usher. So here you have a Sveik Sveika. Even though Rabbeinu Avraham is a minority Shita, seemingly, and even though both Kulas are against the Mechaber, that doesn't deter Rav Avadya. What's his conclusion? His conclusion is, Gam Sfarim Ne'edus HaMizrach Yeshlam Mash Yismochu L'Tzareach V'lecho V'batim Yalon V'tzadol Takshero L'Yashkoch Zarabanot Av Yishat Tavash V'vash L'Fshil M'Goy Kevin Sheyishol Mash Giyach L'Kashrot Madlik V'atzmo Ta'esh Alton Rebish L'Afiyah. So he says it's better to be machmir, but lemaisa one can be mekel. So even Sfardim can be mekel based on Rav Avadya sveik sveika, even though it's preferable to be machmir. Ashkenazim the minhag olam is to be mekel, even though not all the achronim were so comfortable with it. Okay. Any other questions about the sefer? Oh, I want to mention one other thing. Yeah.
What's the first topic? He gets rid of the Torah because he's all he can just say is. Isn't
there
such a concept
in the Pesach like it says? Rav Avadya thinks not. Not letting the six fakers. One of the big machlokes in modern day kashrus agencies, I just went on the website now and saw that the OU is machra and the Sarke is mako, is one of the common issues. Meaning, how do you do, I think this is actually interesting machlokes. What do you do in modern day factories? In modern day factories, how do you ensure it's Bishul Yisrael? Now, again, if it's potato chips, you say the not all shochem alachim, shtoyach. If it's applesauce, you say it's nechal kmo shumchai, shtoyach. But what are, there are foods out there that need, Bishul Yisrael. So how do you do Bishul Yisrael? So you say, easy, let the mashgiach come and turn on the stove every day. Okay, what if the factory is in Minneapolis? And, I mean, there's Jews there. What if the factory is in, who knows where it is? There are no Jews there. So the mashgiach comes and he makes a tour and he makes unannounced visits. So the mashgiach can't come every day. It's too hard for the mashgiach to come every day. So what can you do? So this is a big discussion of the kashrus agencies. I'll mention two machlokas that I think are right, that I saw them. The old-fashioned big machlokas was, what they used to do is, they would put what they call a glow bar, like one little element, or like a big, like one of those big red powerful light bulbs. What they would do is, they would put in the stove one element, or one big light bulb, I don't mean a light bulb like this, maybe a more powerful light bulb, that the mashgiach would put in and would always stay on. Meaning, they would rewire the stove, so even when you switch it off, like most of our appliances nowadays. Someone told me they saw an expose once in the New York Times, how all of our appliances, when you turn them off, they still draw current, and they still, like, have things running inside, and it's a big bizbuzz and a big baltashkas. Okay, maybe not. But you know, nowadays, if you turn off your stereo, it's still on inside. I don't know what it's doing. So, if you turn off the oven switch, they rewired it so that all the wires would be off, but this one wire would be on with this one light bulb. And the Mashiach screwed that in, and he knew it lasted at least a year, so he knocked off every 6 months to be on the safe side, or maybe it was like a metal element that lasted forever. He says, whenever they cook, part of the fire is for me, because I put in that one little bulb, and that stays on forever. That was the Svara, that was a big controversy among the Kashrut agencies, whether that worked. The Star K said that works because, what do you mean? It's thrown in one twig. And the OU said, or Belsky Pasco, the OU policy, is that doesn't work. Why? Because the throwing in one twig only works while the food is already cooking. To do it a year in advance, no, if you light the whole fire, that works even before. Meaning, what do we have? We have Shkira Satana and Lokam Eshel Yisrael, which is the whole fire beforehand. Then there's Chitoy and Kisam, which is adding a little to the fire during the Bishul. What about adding a little before the Bishul? Right? You add a little, but you do it before the food is there. You did it a year ago. Is that good enough? So, that's like, if I just to make sure I'm very clear on what's going on, just to make very clear what I'm talking about, I will mention two interesting machlokos that I found on the internet. One is the following case. What if the Jew does a necessary action before the Bishul? Right? This, the Rambam is Mater, right? This is, the Rambam says, Mutter. This is Shgira Satanur and Hadlaka Me'esh Shel Yisrael. What if a Jew does a more symbolic action during the Bishul? Says the Rambam, Mutter. This is the case of Chitoy and Hashlochat Kisam. What if a Jew does a symbolic action or a Kivur Bishul, you know, or a tiny Kirov Bishul, right? Not a significant, but a tiny Kirov Bishul before the Bishul. That's the case which is controversial, right? The Jew puts in the one tiny element that doesn't use up too much electricity, so it won't be a big bizbuzz, so it won't be a big waste. And then a year later, they cook there. So here the Jew added a little heat to the fire by screwing in this light bulb a year ago. But on the one hand, he didn't really make it cook, and he didn't participate while the process was going on. So maybe it's... So here is a big machlokas. This is a big machlokas, right? The Star K says mutter, and the OU says usser. I'm sure you can find other conscious organizations. So that's a big machlokas team modern day poskim. Because this one bowl can't cook anything. It's just symbolic. Hamaz Atana means you make it cook by your head, giving them a fire. Okay, another big machlokas, by the way, and this I think is the other way around, if I'm not mistaken. I found the Star K on the internet, the OU I just remember in my head, so I hope I remember correctly, is one of the questions, what if this is, so what does the Star K do? They have this glow bar. What does the OU do? So what does the OU do? Yeah. The Jew has to go every day to every factory? No, what they do is, no problem. They just arrange with the factory. After all, nowadays, you think you switch on the oven in the factory? How do you turn on the oven in the factory? On the computer. So they arrange the factory that the oven is turned on by a password-controlled computer program,
and the mashgiach has the password, and he logs in every day and turns on the oven. And even before the internet, they used to have it controlled by a touch-tone phone with a password, right? Password was 3687492, and the mashgiach would call up on the touch-tone phone every day. Touch-tone, there used to be a different kind of phone. I'll explain later. And they'd dial in the password, and that was like the oven. That's what they did before the internet. They had things like that. So that's what the OU does to solve the problem of not having to have the mashgiach go there every day. The Star K actually doesn't like that. They say that's a Grumman. Grumman doesn't count. So they prefer having the mashgiach screw in the light bulb. Okay, so there are different solutions that the kashrut agencies have nowadays as to how to be even more makel than the Ramah. How to be makel even without the Jew being there with cloud. The OU does it on the internet. And the Star K does it with a screwing in one light bulb. And these are all controversial. What? Yeah, it all works
besides,
well.
Like, I know there were questions around like Israel and tuna fish. And what are some of the other foods that like were these?
No, tuna fish, the big machlokas, is right. They'll eat tuna fish, the Jew doesn't do anything. They just assume it's not Olal Shulchan Malach.
Right, right.
Which they're
right.
And not to mention the fact that nowadays it's also not Olal Shulchai. But there are things that need Bishul, that everyone agrees need Bishul Yisrael. Like if people make, I don't know, like potato knishes, or butternut squash, or... And
so you buy packaged foods like that.
Yeah, like you, or a lot of canned goods. Some canned goods are all canned goods are cooked first, pretty much. So a lot of those are fit for a king's table. Some of them say even if after they've in the sitting in the can for a while, they wouldn't serve the king's table. When they cook in the factory first, they're fit for a king's table. It's just they would rather have them fresh, but they start out fresh, right? And you buy them; it's been in the can for 6 months, but they start out fresh enough for a king's table. So a lot of those things, let's say artichokes in a can. You know, I don't know if they still sell them in a can, but like those would be fit for a king's table. So there are, and apparently they're not edible raw. I'm not an expert. I don't know what an artichoke is, but I think it's something you'll eat that grows in the ground. There are plenty of things that need to be cooked by a Jew, and therefore they have to cook. If it's in a Jewish neighborhood, so he just comes and lights the fire every day, that's what they do in restaurants. But if not, then they need to use one of these solutions. So artichokes, for example, are one of the things that the mashgiach had to light the stove. It's a little hard for me to see. This is a brand of Xerox. How about like various types of meats? If they have factories that produce meats, or the mashgiach has to light the stove. Egg product, the mashgiach has to light the stove.
Only if it's the egg.
What? No, I'm saying like actual egg things. Soups, there are a lot of places that serve soups. The mashgiach has to light the stove. So there are a lot of things here where the mashgiach has to light the stove. I'm not exactly sure. Yep, I'll show you the article. I don't want to get into it now. It was not pushed into me. It could be I'm missing something. It didn't sound like a good svar to me. But they said, I'll read you from their Kashrus Currents magazine. Hold on a second. Am I... Dialing a number that in turn trips a switch that in turn lights an oven would be considered grumma and would not be matter. That's hard to hear. They talk about setting a timer. Setting a timer, you might say, is grumma. But then they also say dialing in on the touch-tone phone, like before the internet, is grumma. It's hard for me to hear. Also, yesh lion, maybe they didn't really mean it. I don't know. That's what they published in their newsletter called Kashrus Currents, with two K on each word.
They won't
say the table of the shop.
Don't say that grumma.
You're right, certainly. Weiter. Okay. Yes. Nasan yisrael kamira ala esh silka. If a Jew puts a kadeira on the fire and then removes it, Ubal becomes a gzira, and then the guy comes and puts it back. Usser, it's usser. Adam came and gila machben drusai shu shlish mishuloks or silka. Unless it was already machben drusai. Meaning, if the guy put on the fire and cooked it to machben drusai, then it's already cooked. It's already halachically cooked. Then it doesn't matter if he takes it when the guy finishes, right? Machben drusai is cooked. But if the So let's just review this case. Here, if the Jew cooked, you know, one third, and then it was removed, and then the guy cooked the last two thirds, pasha that's mutter. Why? Because one third is machmir drusai. That's a luckily cooked. The Jew cooked it. Now we know. Is it so pasha that machmir drusai is one third? It's a machlok as we've shown. What are the two opinions?
Yeah.
A third or a half. However, since bishul akum is only mishra rabbanan, we're makil and we say it's a third. Even though in some places, no, for Shabbos, you say it's a half. Here we make a vote. What if a Jew only cooked it less than a third, right? Let's say a Jew cooked it one quarter. And then it was removed, and a guy cooked it three quarters. Says the Mechaber, Aser, why? Because the Jew didn't cook it. The Jew cooked it one quarter, that's halachically called raw. So the Jew made it, turned it from raw to raw, and then it was taken off the fire. If it was left on the fire, then the Jew gets credit. And then the guy put it back, so the Jew made it go from raw to raw, and the guy made it go from raw to cooked, so it's official only of a guy. The Jew did nothing significant halachically, and therefore it is usher. The Shach and the Taz quote from a Bach. The Shach and the Taz quote from a Bach that the Bach says, it depends. The Bach says, if it was removed by a Jew, it's usher. If it was removed by the guy, it's mutter. Depends who removed it. He says, no, the silk, if the Yisrael took it off and the guy put it on, then it is usher. But if a guy took it off and put it on, it's mutter. What's the svara? What's the svara? The svara is
kavana.
That since the guy removed it and replaced it, it cancels out. The guy, the two opposite actions. He took it off and he put it back. If he took it off and he put it back, those two actions cancel each other out. It's as if the guy did nothing. As far as when a guy does two opposite actions, it doesn't count. This is a big issue. The guy used the bathroom in your house and turns off the light, and then remembers it's Shabbos and turns it back on again. So, some poskim, based on this Bach, say that's okay. That's not considered the guy did work for you on Shabbos. Because the guy's just undoing what he did and cancel each other out. Here also, if a Jew took it off, then what the Jew says, I'm putting it on and taking it off, it's still raw. Yeah, the guy's doing all the cooking, but if the guy took it off and says, oh, mistake, I took off the wrong piece, put it back, then he cancels out and as if he did nothing.
What's the logic of that?
Hold that thought. Says the Shach, we agree with the Bach, but not for his reason. Says we agree with the Bach, but not for his reason. We have a different reason to agree with the Bach. Why do we agree with the Bach? Because Ashkenazim hold any symbolic participation of a Jew is good enough, even if the Jew did something that wasn't really effective in leading to cooking. So therefore, but not for his reason, rather, exactly what Zev says, because for Ashkenazim, any symbolic action suffices. And here, clearly, the Jew had some symbolic participation because he started the cooking, even though it never led to anything. So he says, for Ashkenazim, you don't even need the svar of the Bach, you have more pashut svar. And then he says, even those who question the Ashkenazic kulas of the Ramah, certainly if you have the Bach's case, you have the Bach's svar and the Ramah's svar, you can feel comfortable when you make them. Okay, sif test. In Bishlam, Kovim, Malcolm, and Yerushalayim, the Gomer Yisrael, this is a very nice machlokas. Again, first put yourself in the Sephardi frame of mind that it depends who really made it cook, right? Not symbolically. Says the Mechaber, what if, here's a fascinating question. If a Jew, let's take this one, a Jew did one third and removed the guy to two thirds mutter because the first third is considered cooking, right? That's the rule of Malcolm and Rusai. Cooking the Malcolm and Rusai is considered cooking. Now, what about the flip side? What if a guy did one third, and then the Jew says, oh my gosh, it's about to be treif, and he removes it? Now, obviously, if a guy did a quarter and the Jew removed it and finished, push it much, the guy didn't do anything. What if a guy did a third or a half or two thirds, right? And removed, and then the Jew does the next two thirds. Do you say, well, the guy did the cooking, the ikker cooking is until Machab and Yusai? Or do you say, no, any part of the cooking counts. It's all important. So here, you have two ways to look at it. You could say the ikker is, again, for starting, is the first third, and then it would be usser. Because look, the usser ikker is the first third. Or if you want, you could stretch it to the first half. Or you could say, no, each part is significant. Meaning the first third is significant, it makes it barely edible, but to make it really edible is also significant. So then, the machlokas we've shown him, even for the Sephardim, who needs something significant. The question is, what's significant? He says, the machamer bishlo obachom machamer yisrael v'gom yisrael yish lesser. Elam kenu erev Shabbos or erev yontem sheyis hefzad rub of a duffer. Obviously, the assumption behind this machamer is that it's a machlokas we've shown him. Right? Since it's a machlokas we've shown him, therefore we say, well, should I ask for a matter? The machamer it's a pshara. If it's not a makom tzorech, it's aser. But if it's a makom tzorech, like you need it for Shabbos or Yontif, or it's worth a lot of money, then you can be makel. So that's pshara, you should be makel, even if you have to throw it in the garbage. But if necessary, because you need it for Shabbos or Yontif, or because it costs a lot of money, then you can be makel. Says the Ramah, v'yish matir b'chol inyan, v'chein no. Again, obviously the Ramah should say that further Ashkenazim, of course, any participation is good enough. Maybe it's not obvious, but it's close enough. And therefore, the Ramah says, Pasha, we're Mekel Legamre, even if it's not a Makum Tzorech, even if it's not a Hefsim Ruba, we're Mekel Ashkenazim, we're Mekel Legamre.
If the guy is cooking.
I'm sorry, just one second. In the Pesach Tshuva, he quotes that the Shla was Machmir even for Ashkenazim against the Ramah, but none of the Achronim followed him. All the Achronim followed the Ramah.
If the guy is cooking it more than Machal Ben Drusai, then where's the Geder? For when the Jew can take it off and put it back on.
The getter is called sarkoth. The Achronim say, even. So again, what do we say here? Machaber makes a pshara, right? He says, usher, unless you're stuck, then it's mutter. And the Ramah says, mutter. L-E-S. How long does an Ashkenazi have, or Sephardim Shasas Chak, to save this food? What if he cooked it 2/3? What if he cooked it 9/10? So the answer is, the Achronim say, until cold sarko, until fully cooked. If it's 99% cooked and the Jew takes it off and puts it back, he can still save it. Again, practically, no one's ever going to be able to tell the difference between 99% cooked and 100% cooked. I'm saying theoretically. But once it's fully cooked, then it's too late. So it has to be fully cooked. What's the definition of fully cooked? The definition of fully cooked is that everyone would consider it edible. Not just edible. I don't mean edible. Is that most people would say it's ready to eat, it's ready to serve. If most people would say it's ready to serve, then it's too late. But if it's a little rare, and most people would say it's not ready to serve yet, even though it's okay, mistadrim, but it's not ready yet, then that's not 100% cooked, it's only 99% cooked, then if you take it off and put it back, that makes it mutter for Ashkenazim, and even for Sephardim, if you're really stuck.
What about a cholent?
So mitzvah biyafalo does not help. Once it's fully cooked, even if it's improving, it's too late to save it because it's fully cooked. So cholent, if you would say, basically, if you would say this cholent, it's not ready to serve yet. It's not ready to serve. It's not fully cooked. You could eat it, but it's not ready to serve yet. Then if a Jew took it off and put it back, it would be mutter. But if you say it's ready to serve, but it's even better if you leave it on longer, then once it's ready to serve, it's fully cooked. If the Jew takes it off and puts it back, it's still trade. It's too late to save. That's what it's down for Yavolo. A lot of things, soups and cholents. Chicken soup. The more you cook it, the better. The more times you warm it up leftovers, the better. But if there's a certain point where it's ready. And if you don't know when it's ready, your wife does. Okay. Sif Yud. Says the Mechaber, Mi'chzal Gavi Yechol Omosh Lo Yerol Esbash Lo Lehem Gavi Nishoi. If a Jew put it on dying embers, dying coals, where it would not never get cooked out of the tray, just could never cook on those dying coals. They're too cool. And a guy came, hafach, obviously means the coals, and stirred the coals and made relit them, reignited them, and it got cooked. Then it's usher, because the Jew did something insignificant that could never have gotten cooked on dying embers. Only the guy made it cook, and it's usher. What sif is this very parallel to? What sif is this? The case in Yod is equivalent to the case is equivalent to the case of Tzevav in the Ramah. A Jew did something that would not have led to cooking, and then a guy made it cook. So that's why the Shach points out in Sefkat Neches that just like the Ramah and Tzevav was making, even if the Jew did something that would never have made it cook, the Ramah also would argue on Sif Yod. So we assume Sfardim would be Machmer in Sif Yod, because the Jew didn't do anything that could lead to cooking. He put it on dying embers. But the Ramah would be Mekel, because the Ramah says, as long as the Jew added some heat, even if it would never have gotten anywhere, that's good enough. So for Ashkenazim, that would be Mutter. Yud Aleph.
If a Jew left on the fire and he left a guy watching it, and let's assume that there's no problem washing Zalman and Ayin according to whatever Shita. Right? So you left a guy next to your stove, and the guy flipped your burger. The guy was a nice guy. He sees he's a very nice guy. You know, sometimes nice guy can make problems. Right? Okay. Push comes to shove, I'd rather have the nice guy with their problems looking at Jewish history. But the nice guy can make problems. He says, it's getting burnt on this side and it's raw on the other side. Let me help my Jewish friend by flipping it. So he flips it. And what's the problem? The problem is, Ein Yoduim Silpo Mkomesh Logil Machav in your side. We don't know, again, for Spartan, we don't know what he did. Like, you can flip a burger in place, or you can, like, take it off and put it down. Like, you don't know what he did. Maybe he was fooling around with the whole grill and making room for something, putting the wings up and putting the wings down and whatever. So you don't know if maybe he took it off the fire before it was Machav Ben Yosai and put it back on the fire and did all the cooking or not. So you're not sure if he messed with the food in a way that makes it Bishal Akum or not. The answer is Mutter. Why? And the Ramad Safik Ibrahim Lahakel, because Safik Darban Lakula, basically when it's a Safik, whether it was cooked by a Jew or a guy, it's Mutter because it's Safik Darban Lakula. V'chein kol Safik Shulim Chomig Yotzvim Mutter. And likewise, any Safik Bishal Akum is Mutter. What's the Chiddush? What's the Chiddush of any Safik Bishal Akum? So, the Taz says, what's the Chiddush? Not only in this case where Jews started cooking and you're not sure if the guy messed it up, is Mutter. Even if a guy started cooking and you're not sure if a Jew saved it, is Mutter. Like, a guy started cooking and you're not sure if the Jew raised the fire or not. You're not sure if the Jew stoked the coals or not. Even that's Mutter. Even though you know the guy did it, and you don't know if a Jew helped or not, any suffix is Mutter Bishal Akum, because it's a Isser Drabanan, certainly one that is no Mukher in the Torah. So therefore, and this could be Halacha Maisa. If you have a case where a Jew cooked, you don't know if a guy took it off and put it back. Okay, or more Halacha Maisa. The guy cooked. The Jew is supposed to turn up the flame. You're not sure if he did or not. Mutter. Safik Rabban Lakula.
Taking something or another to flip it, that's considered siluk.
If you take...
Even by the lechem aponim, the Tana says not that way.
If you... Again, what you, obviously you all admit, if you just flip it but keep it in a hot place the whole time, that's obviously not siluk. It's only siluk to flip it. You take it away from the fire and put it back on the fire. So what Zev is saying is, pasha, that should be just cancel it out because we're just trying to flip it. Apparently not so pasha. The getter of Tamid might be different than the getter of Maisa. Okay, your base. Now, this is the end of the discussion of the... This is the end of the discussion of different types of participation of Jews and Goyim. Now we have three topics left to discuss. Did I promise more topics than that? And what are the topics we have left to discuss? Number one, yeah. Three topics left to discuss. Number one, what if something is semi-edible? Is that called Bechuk Moshuchai? Number two, what if something could be made edible in ways other than cooking? And number three, what about pots used for Bishul Akum? Okay, so let's hop into Yabez, which combines these first two issues. Says Sif Yabez, Dagen Ketanen Shemalchan Yisrael O Akum. Small fish that were salted by either a Jew or a guy. Harehin can meet motion as bashul mix as bishul. It's as if they were partially cooked already and edible. The insulat of Chum Achar came mutar. If a guy roast them later, they are mutter. Okay, there's a lot of halachos packed into this one line. Agav, there's a total side point here, which is not really important, and I'll tell you why it's not important in a second. The Shachatah spent a lot of time here with the following kasha. Why are we dealing with Dagim Ketanim? It says, unfortunately, Mar, the Dagim Ketanim are not Olal Shulchan Malachim, so it's not an issue. And then, okay, they have various answers just to... summarize, Reis Yosef says that, they're not Olah Shulchan Malachim until you salt them. But once you salt them, they are Olah Shulchan Malachim. And the Marashal says there's different kinds of small fish. There's very small and slightly small. And very small are not Olah, but slightly small. And the Bach says that, there's small species and baby fish of a big species. Baby fish of a big species are not Olah, but small species are. Okay, why are these answers not significant for us? I mean, it's an interesting intellectual exercise. Why are we dealing with them? They're not Olah Shulchan Malachim. because olos of halacha depends on every time and place. Like halacha l'maisa, it doesn't matter to us what the answer is and what was olos shochem halachim in the time of Chazal and in the time of the Bach and the time of the Machaber. It matters what's olos shochem halachim nowadays. So therefore, it doesn't matter which of these answers are right, because nowadays we have to look at our reality and see what's olos shochem halachim. And I don't know what's olos shochem halachim. What are dug in katanim? Sardines? The kings eat sardines? I suspect not. I suspect sardines are not chashim enough to serve a shulchan halachim. How about herring? Any Jew with a neshama would have to assume that ma malchi rabbana and that, you know, lemaisa, the OU, Haskins, that sardines is not a problem bishul shul, because it's not olal shulchan halachim. And herring is not cooked, so it's not an issue. Hold on a second. Herring?
It's not smoked or something?
Hold that thought. Okay. Hold that thought. It is smoked, but it's not cooked. Okay. So, lemaisa, small, I don't know of any other small fish that we eat, but regularly, but sardines are not olos shochem halachim, and herring is not cooked anyway. Your question will be answered in 10 minutes. So, let's get back to the point. That was a side point of are dung katanim olos shochem halachim or not? Okay, we would look at our time and place, and if you want to know the answer for their days, I just summarized for you from the Taz and the Shach summarized the same answers. How many halachas have we learned here? Let's see. What can I erase? How many halachas have we learned here? Number one is, what about a few things here? How many halachas have we learned? Maybe three halachas. Number one, what if a guy prepares food using a method other than bishul? For example, melicha. So what's the obvious assumption? What if a guy salts food? Is that a problem or not?
No.
Why? Because it says here, if a Jew or a guy salted them, it's mutter. Right? So the answer is mutter. Why? Because gazru rak al bishul. Okay. We'll come back to that in Sif Yud Gimel. Okay. Second issue. What if you have something, what if a food is edible raw only after preparation such as melicha, right? These dug into time. You couldn't eat them raw stam. You could only eat them raw after they were salted, right? So what if, and a guy cooks it after melicha? So do we say, well, originally it wasn't edible raw, so it's usher? Do we say, no, it was once it was salted, it's edible raw. Now it's mutter. What is the Shulchan Aruch Paskin? What did he Paskin? If a Jew or guy salted them, and then a guy cooks them, what's the din?
Mutter.
It's mutter. It's as if it's already cooked and prepared, and it's mutter. So the answer is mutter.
But not for the whole min, just for that.
Ah, exactly. Even if it's only edible raw because you prepared it, if a guy cooks it, then it is okay. Like an example of this would be olives. Let's say a guy cooked some olive dish. Olives are not edible raw. You ever tried to eat an olive from the tree? If you did, it would have been an educational experience. Right, you would have understood Rashi and Parshas. Noah, right? He says, may my mizonos be as bitter as a zayas, as long as they're from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. What's so bitter about a zayas? The answer is, try eating one raw. It's inedible. But they pickle them, and now they're edible. So what if a guy takes a pickled olive and makes a dish out of it? That's fine. Once it was pickled, it was edible. Now he's putting edible food. But what's the diok? Right? The diok is, what if, and the guy cooks it without prior melicha, what if the guy cooks a raw olive and makes a dish? What's the diuk? The diuk is clear. If first a Jew or guy salted it, and then a guy cooked it, it's mutter. But if no one did anything, then it is clearly usher. As Eli said, it's not matter the min, meaning just because you can eat raw olives pickled doesn't mean a guy can cook an unpickled olive. It depends. Each olive is different. If the olive was pickled, the guy's allowed to cook it. If the olive is not pickled, the guy's not allowed to cook it. If the small fish are salted, the guy's allowed to cook it. If they're not salted, the guy's not allowed to cook it. So getting back to herring, raw herring, the guy's not allowed to cook. But smoked herring, the guy is allowed to cook. Or salted herring, the guy is allowed to cook. So that's the din. Remember, I said we get back to something that's edible raw, like the tikkun with processing. So the answer is, if it's processed, then the guy's allowed to cook it. But if it's not processed, the guy's not allowed to cook it. Okay, that's pashut. This is pashut. Now,
you saying, maybe you're going to address it, but you saying the herring.
Yeah, yeah, I'm going to address that in a minute. Okay. Now, let's just review one thing. I would think so.
You said it has to be a main dish. It has to be something more rare to have lunch. That's what you say about the olives.
And you don't think you'd serve olives in a main course? Olive products. Oh, hold on. Okay, apparently the OU says that anything made out of olives, any kind of pick of olives, so it's okay.
Yeah, I don't think anybody used raw olives.
Yeah. Okay, you're fine. Now, the second half gets into one last issue. I said we're going to discuss three issues, but I really meant four. So I split this one in half. What the last issue we're going to discuss is, what about Nechal Chai Al Yidei Hakak? What if something's edible raw, but Al Yidei Hakak with difficulty? So let's.
Can you actually eat the olives raw?
Well?
It's disgusting.
I mean, you could eat cardboard also if you really wanted to, but no, well, not even with difficulty. And it's.
No, but the cardboard is like.
Right.
Bad for you.
It's.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's really hard. Okay. Abol dagim beluchim gedolim. What about big salted fish? Says the mechaber. Obviously, talking about the kind of salt they did in his days, the kind of fish they had in his days. The big fish and their salted are still not edible, except al yidei chak. They're only eaten raw with difficulty. Meaning, if you're stuck, you'll eat them raw. Right. Not to insult your mother-in-law, you'll eat them raw. And lefikach and tzlonu v'chom asurim v'yesh matirin. What if it was edible al yidei chak? So he quotes machlokas rishonim, yesh osrim, v'yesh matirin, machlokas.
Is that only because there's a process?
Keep that thought in mind. For now, let's assume not. Halach, most posts assume not. Says the Ramah, v'chin kol dorosh nechol chai v'yed chak. Likewise, anything edible raw v'yed chak, that's the answer to your question. It's not just the process. Anything edible raw v'yed chak, u'bish lo v'chavim, and a guy cooked it, dino k'dagim yidolim, the same as the dagim yidolim, u'basar v'loach in a nechol klak hol shuchai. This diet, salted fish. Salted meat is not nechol raw at all, not even al yidei chak. You can't eat raw meat, even after they did melicha. But also, especially yocham, therefore it's pashut also for good cooked meat.
But Ramah didn't give his opinion.
Aha, so this is very interesting. It says yesh osher v'yesh matirin. Did Ramah give an opinion? Right? Not so clear, right?
Well, it's clear that he didn't.
He doesn't seem to have given an opinion, because he just says, anything edible raw yidei chak is like dagim gedolim, and what does it say in Sif Yud Beis says machlokes, and he doesn't seem to have paskin, which is funny. Some of the Achronim want to say maybe he meant to paskin l'chumra, but it's, I don't know, it's hard to be done. Seems to have not given his opinion, which is funny. L'maisa, how do we paskin? The Achronim are all machmir on this. The Or Hashochan, the Brit Chadash, and others. The Achronim are machmir. Why should you be machmir? Because maybe they think that one opinion is stronger. Meaning, something about the kula is if you don't have a psak. If you have a psak. Now, and also, we'll see a little later, maybe another reason. Okay, let us go on. Sif Yud Gimel. You know what, can I skip around? Yes, of course I can. I'm in charge. I can do what I want. Sif Yud Dalet. I want to finish up the issue of Tchak, so that's why I'm going to Yudalad Yud-Tesvav. Sif Yudalad, Beitza Afri Shu'ri L'Gomachaya, an egg, even though you could swallow it raw, like in Rocky, right? In Bishlo L'Kov Masur, if a guy cooks an egg, it's Asur. Eggs are subject to Bishlo Akhi, even though you could eat them raw. Now, what do you mean, even though you could eat them raw? You could eat them raw, but obviously, if you ate them raw, that would be Yali Dei Tchak. So, even though they're edible raw, since it's only Yali Dei Tchak, it's Asur. Tesvav, Tamarim Hamarim Ktas, and these are all from the Gemara. Yodal and Tesvav are from the Gemara.
Majority of people don't eat eggs raw, though. Even if you have cases where people do.
Yeah, but Aliyah of Chak, most people might.
Screw yourself.
If you were stuck, you might.
Why did the Malachi bring that?
But that's why it's Usher.
Because it's in the Gemara. Whatever's in the Gemara gets to say. I said you're down with this vavra in the Gemara.
No. If you're saying it's the same thing as the Chak.
So hold that. Okay. So hold that thought. Tesvav, tomorrow Amorim Tzah, slightly bitter dates, meaning very bitter dates are completely inedible. Here we're talking about semi-bitter dates. She'em nechol de'ed chak are only edible raw de'ed chak, and bishon kham masurim, for God calls them their usher. So basically, what do you say here about the eggs and the semi-bitter dates? If it's nechol de'ed chak, usher. Basically, what he says in Se'ifim, Yudala to Tesvav is usher. Okay, this might be one of the reasons the Achron were known to last. Sorry, the two Seifim, which are really from the first Baskanas of the Gemara, seem to Aser. Of course, the Mechaber is difficult. Like, if in Yud Beis, he says, Yoshi Yishmatirin, then why in Yud Dalin Tesvav does it just go straight out and say Aser? And especially in Tesvav, he used the exact same Lashon, right? Nechol Yad Chak. Not in Yud Dalin, he doesn't use the same words. But in Tesvav, he even uses the same words, right? Tesvav's words are Necholim Al Yad Chak, and Yud Beis' words were Necholim Al Yad Chak. So how come it's machlokas in Yud Beis, and it's pashat aser in Yud Dalet and Tesvav? Obviously, this bothered everyone. The Bach wanted to suggest, based on what Eli said before, that maybe nechal chayel deyed chak is for sure aser. Just in Sif Yud Beis, he was a little. Some people were mako because it was salted, it was processed a little. So maybe that counts as more edible if someone actually processed it. As far as not so pashat. But, okay, we're not going to get into that. Lumdus. Lemaisa, most people who got chronic view with the Taz, says the Taz in Sivkot and Yudalid. He says, there's two levels of Yidei Chak. There is Al Yidei Chak and Al Yidei Docha Gadol. Yudalid and Tesvav are Docha Gadol. Only if you're very stuck. And that's for sure Usser. Yudbeis if you're a little stuck. And that's a Machlokas. So most folks agree with the Taz that says that this is the case of a Docha Gadol. And this is a case of a dochak katan. It depends how much pressure, right? Meaning, to not insult your aunt, or to not insult your wife, right? Yud beis is things that you would eat to not insult your aunt. You would insult your aunt. But to not insult your wife, you would eat them, because that's more crucial. Or to not insult your mother-in-law, even worse. Because your wife at least loves you. What? No, I think dochak means if you're stuck. How stuck are you? There are different ways you can be stuck. You can be very hungry.
That's not that shot. Well, the shot is a little shot in that because how? I'm talking about insulting him, but it's talking about if you have to leave, you don't have food.
Okay, same thing. How hungry do you have to be? Basically, Yud Beis is if you were hungry, you would eat it. Yud Dalet Tesvav is if you were starving, you would eat it. Okay, fair enough, right? Hungry versus starving. You wouldn't eat it stam. Someone put it on the table, you'd say that's garbage. But if you're hungry, you would eat it. That's Yud Beis. If you're starving, you'd eat Yud Dalet Tesvav. Fine, I was just trying to be a little more entertaining. Lemaisa, most people agree with the Taz, and therefore, if it's a Gadol, Pashat Usser. If it's a regular Dechak, then it's a Machlokas, but Lemaisa, we Paskin, it's Usser anyway, so any that's not really edible raw, we are Machra. Okay, now we'll go back to your Gimel.
What about the Shaf on Tesvav? Doesn't he say that if Rov Deminan or Iker Achilas on Chai? So the Tamarim, even though they're bitter, most Tamarim are not bitter, and so you could...
No, he's talking about Agassim and... No. I don't think that's what he means. It's a funny Lashon. I don't know exactly. I can't pronounce exactly the Rov Iker Achilas on Chai. But I think what he means is that the most people consider the main way to eat it is raw. But he's talking about Agassim and Tafuchim, which some people eat raw. And he says, not only do some people eat raw, most people consider the Iker way to eat it raw.
So you need both. It's not that it's just...
I'm not sure. No, I don't know if you need the Ode. I think that was just throwing in for extra. My impression in that shach. I mean, he says, basically, they're also edible raw. Like, lots of people eat them raw. Uh-huh. People eat
so it's a different case then.
Yeah, different case. He's talking about gasim tapuchim, right? Here's an apple.
Yeah, I thought it was the same.
But he just says, well, he says something else with the shot. Even if most people eat it cooked, but if you could also eat it raw, it's okay. That's all he's saying. Uh-huh. Saying there's some foods that most people eat cooked, but you could also eat it raw. There's nothing wrong with it. So he's saying, just because most people cook it, doesn't mean it's not edible raw. It just might be even yummier cooked. But it's perfectly okay raw also. That's all he means. Something that you could eat raw, but most people like it better cooked, is considered edible raw. Because that's not tachak. It's just, it's even better if you, lots of things are even better if you cook it, but are perfectly fine raw. Okay, now we'll go back to your gibble. Your gibble is, what do we say here? If a guy prepares food in a non-cooking method, it's okay. There only goes around cooking. Even though Helchas Tarovos, Moliach Roteach, and Kavish Kimavushal, that's in Helchas Tarovos. But in Bishlach, when there only goes around cooking. So he says, Yud Gimel, Dod Shemalcha Ov Kachavim, a fish that was salted by a guy, Upirish Ishnana Shechshir Lachila, or smoked. This is getting back to the herring, right? I think they smoke herring. Or that's on like lox. I think some herring they either pickle or smoke. Right? Or if a guy smoked produce until he made it edible, Hare Ilim Mutarim, Di Maluach Einu Kroteach, Zerizuvam Ushenin Kumbushal. Maluach doesn't have Kroteach, smoking, even though it's with heat, doesn't count as cooking. Gam Kovash Einu Kumbushal, says the Ramah, and pickling doesn't count as cooking. Well, Asher Lebishishal Ish. So therefore, Maluach, Ishun smoking, that's how lox is made. I know sometimes they have cheap shortcuts nowadays, but real lox is smoked fish, meaning instead of cooking it, they smoke it. Even though it's heat from a fire. But it's not heat directly from a fire. It's that the smoke goes up in the air and the smoke is hot. That's not considered regular cooking, and the xera doesn't apply. Or, kvisha, or pickling. Right, so if we've got pickles or salts or even smokes, it is mutter. No, you might still need a hechsher for lox to make sure they didn't put in trace ingredients or they didn't use trace fish. That is my impression. What?
You buy smoked salmon.
If you buy smoked salmon, I don't know. You have to know in your countries if it's common they would add trace ingredients when they smoke the salmon or not. Could be you wouldn't need a hechsher. I don't know.
Because the smoking is not, there's no issue with the kalim.
There's no artificial akum. You know, I don't know how the kalim work, meaning the smoke lechor is kosher.
Right.
So, I don't know, but I think in America we look for a hechsher on the lox. You have to ask why. Like, what is the chash?
Do they make any lox that doesn't have a hechsher anyway?
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes, they certainly
okay.
do.
There are. So anyway, Yishlaayin, it's a good question. I just don't know how they make fish. Now here, this is very pashut, but this brings up two big issues in the modern day poskim about two other methods that are not listed here. One, because it didn't exist. How can you cook something in a way that didn't exist until microwaves? What about microwaves? What about microwaves? So microwaves is generally a machlokas rishonim whether a microwave is called bishul or not. Right? They quote from the Chazon Ish or Shlomo Zalman that microwave is not bishul because you're not using a heat source, you're using microwaves. Meaning something that like goes into food and makes it hot is not bishul. You have to have a heat source. You have to have a hot thing that makes it hot. Not waves that make it hot. And Rav Moshe is quoted as saying a microwave is bishul for complicated lumnus that we don't get into. Basically, Rav Moshe's shot was that any way of cooking that's as good as an oven is considered cooking midoraisa. Now, I'm a little misuffed whether he said, Rav Moshe's fascinating too, he says, soon enough, everyone will use microwaves instead of regular ovens as soon as they get a little cheaper because they're just as good as regular ovens. It's not clear to me. Was he mistaken about the Metzius, or did I misunderstand? It seems to me like he might have thought microwaves would be more popular than they really are. Nowadays, people rarely cook in microwaves. What do they usually do in microwaves?
Reheat
leftovers. But people rarely, now, there are people who claim you can cook everything in a microwave and even show you how. But most people don't think microwaves are good for cooking. So it's a little misophic to me how seriously to take this Rav Moshe. Like, did he really mean it, or he meant it only according to one way of understanding the Messias. Correct.
Then, why should we think that machlok, we're talking about a subject of such a misohon, has to do anything with zero visual?
Okay, nachon. Basically, that was my next step. In Kolotor Kuvel, like Helchos Shabbos, so, Alpi the Chazon Ish, Shlomo Zalman would be down from the Chazon Ish and Masorah, I don't think it's in the Sefer, that microwaves are not bishul because there's no fire. So they're automatically not bishul. And Rav Moshe says microwaves are bishul even though one could question his logic.
Even on Shabbat.
On Shabbat. However, when it comes to bishul akum, we're more makel than Shabbat. Says only bishul shel eish, says the Ramah. Right? So therefore, almost all poskim assume that even if you're machmer on Shabbos for microwaves, Bishul Akum, the only aser classic kind of cooking, this is not the classic kind of cooking, it shouldn't be with an exer of Bishul Akum, and that's why the minhag olam is to be make on Bishul Akum by microwaves. I've heard of those who are machmer, I guess there's always going to be machmer, but the minhag olam is to be make on microwaves, because A, maybe they're not Bishul even on Shabbos, and even if they are Bishul on Shabbos, Bishul Akum is more mako than Shabbos, and they weren't gozer in microwaves.
So electric burners?
What? Electric burners are ish. We assume electric burners are ish. Induction is a good question, but most people don't have it yet, so we won't get into that now. So microwaves, we are mako.
Who's the first posse that you put in before the workshop?
The Shlomo Zalman put in the Chazanish.
Okay.
We are mako in microwaves. Even our Moshe, he's talking about Shabbos. He didn't say he'd be machmer in Bishul Akum. That's a big chazal. Really, one doesn't have to be machmer on. I know there are machmer, but that's not mainstream. The other big issue that comes up nowadays, which is in all the factories, is steaming. No. What's the difference between smoking and steaming? Smoking is smoke goes and makes the thing cooked. Steaming, it's not smoke,
water.
It's steam. Meaning, steaming only works in a closed environment, right? Meaning, you have to have an enclosed area, and you cook water. The water turns into steam, and the steam cooks things. Why is that significant? Because all the cooking nowadays in canned goods in every factory is done by steaming. What do they do? First, they put the raw food in the can, usually, and then what do? They have these big things the size of like a whole block. It's like a big oven. A big boiler that boils water and makes ridiculous amounts of steam. And then they have pipes, miles and miles of pipes that go around the side of a factory the size of Bayit Began. And those pipes carry the steam through the whole factory, cook everything in the factory with the steam, and then go back into the boiler and gets condensed and reboiled, and somehow that's the most efficient, economically the most efficient way for factories to cook. That's one of the big challenges of modern-day kashrus in factories. If you ask OU or any of these other big kashrus agencies, the biggest challenge is you have a factory, a complex the size of Bayit Began, where they make 1,000 products, and it's all one line of steam. The problem is, forget about Bishul Akum. The steam gets trained from the pork and beans, and then, so basically, if you want to get a heksher for your factory, you have to have, and many of them have this anyway, you have to have two different steam lines and two different boilers, one for the kosher food, one for the trade food, and you have to make sure that everything's connected where it is and trace all the pipes and make sure that you know exactly where each pipe goes, and that the kosher ones are only kosher, the trade for only trades. That's one of the biggest avodas in factories. Okay, that's not an Bishul Akum. Now, the question is steaming? Yes, the steam is Zeya. The steam hits the pork and beans, the outside of the pork and beans cans, and gets the taste of the pork and beans, and then goes and puts
it
into your kosher.
But if it's so much, isn't it obviously futile?
Okay.
But that's
the cans are already sealed?
The cans are already sealed.
So we're just basing it on the fact that the
cans get trafed from the pork, and then the cans make the steam trafe, and then the steam makes the cans of kosher things trafe, and then it makes the food trafe.
Even though there's for sure no taste, obviously.
Okay, there are those who deal with that. But still, l'chachilo, we don't rely on that, obviously. Okay, l'maisa, is it a problem Bishul Akum if they steam it? So here, this is a big, big machlokas. Many are machmir, but there are two svaras to be makel. Rav Ovadia says it's mutter like smoking. He says steaming is like smoking. It's not regular cooking, and the gzera doesn't apply. Pashut zel. In the OU, they do not rely on that Rav Ovadia alone. However, they have another svar to be makel. Based on Rav Moshe Feinstein, Pia Shmua. It's not written in the name of Moshe, but Rav Moshe Hashmua has a very interesting svar. There's a Shitas Yachid, which I wanted to mention at some point, and now I will, called the Mahari Tats. I don't use a Shitas Yachid in everything, just in here. The Mahari Tats or the Maharit Sahalon. The Mahari Tats has a big kula. He says there's a heter of Bishul Palter for Bishul Akum. Anything made in a factory or store or restaurant is mutter because it's a palter. He says, just like they were Matur Palter by Pas, they were also Matur Palter by Bishel. No one agrees with him. No one agrees with him. So what does he say? He says, Bishel Palter is Mutter. Well, that takes away all the problems of Bishel Akir except going to your friend's house. But no one agrees with him. He's a Sheet of
Yachid. Or a restaurant, I guess.
No, a restaurant is Palter. It's a business. Yeah, it's a business, like a bakery. A bakery could be a small bakery, it could be a mom-and-pop bakery, it's still a bakery, it's not social. If you go to a restaurant, it's not social with the Arab in the kitchen. Right? It's business. Okay, no one agrees with Mari Tass. They say, no, Palter was only hetered by Tass because of Chayei Nefesh. However, Reb Moshe finds in Pia Shmua says Azoy. He says, really, the Mari Tass is right. He has to be right. Why did they ask for Bishul Akum? The main three reasons, because of intermarriage. I don't understand. In General Mills in Minneapolis, there's a guy on the factory floor there who, like, I don't know, like, pressed a button and made the can of beans, you know, go into the can of soup, go into the steam retort. Mom, you know, you can share it with my son and his daughter. I don't know who he is. So, some people want to have the svara that, so, I mean, obviously he's right. Some people even want to have the svara that, well, in a factory, that's even more. That's where the palters. You know the guy. He just a store, mom and pop store. In a factory, Pasha would be mutter. But no, we don't combine that. Says Moshe Feinstein. So why do we ask for even palter? Why do we ask for a factory? This is a factory in Minneapolis. You probably couldn't even find out the name of the guy who cooked your can, even if you wanted to. So why is it chastos? So Moshe says, of course there's no reason of chastos. But it's also because of low plug, because since someone could cook it in a way that is chastos, they actually eat in a way without chastos. Okay. Very reasonable svar for Orthodox Judaism. However, here's the Chiddush of Moshe Pia Shmua. When do we say low plug if the guy in the factory cooks it in a similar way that a person would cook it in their own house? Then it's a low plug. However, if he cooks it in a way that no one cooks in their own house, then there's no low plug. And so Moshe Pia Shmua says, if there'd be a factory where they make things the old-fashioned way, even though the guy's 1,000 miles away and you don't know his name, low plug is usher. But if they make it in type of equipment that doesn't exist in people's houses, then it is mutter. And therefore, Moshe Pia Shmua says, these big steaming machines, the pipes of steam, since no one has them in their houses, meaning economically, it doesn't make sense to put them in private houses. It only makes sense to put them in gigantic factories. Therefore, there's no low plug, because it's not similar to what we do in our houses and mutter. Totally different story to Rav Avadya. So says Rav Moshe Feinstein via Shmua. He says, mutter, asterisk, because there's no low plug of chasnos, because it's not the same type of cooking that people would do that might lead to chasnos. Now, Shmuley would object. But no, sometimes people steam broccoli in their house, and that's essentially the same thing. So it's a good question where to draw the line. Maybe that's a very different type of equipment, even though it's steaming. It's a very different kind of steaming equipment. One is a steaming equipment of a whole system that can circle back to a boiler. Lemaisa, the OU policy is to be makel on all canned goods that are cooked with steam, like most canned goods are cooked with steam. Obviously, you have to know each factory does things differently. But the OU is makel on a lot of things based on Rav Avadya's svar that steaming is like smoking, and even if steaming is not like smoking, Rav Moshe and Pia Shmua, that since it's a type of equipment that you don't have in private homes, the gzeira does not apply based on like the very echo of the Mari Tatz. Lemaisa, in almost all the cases where they're makel based on steaming, there are usually other grounds to be makel also, because most of the food that's steamed is either edible raw or it's not really olah shulchan lachem, so often there are other grounds to be makel, but they will be makel based on this svara. It's one of the things that not everyone agrees with about the OU. Okay, great. So it's not only the OU.
Second of all, the svara. Before we got married and learned the Philos Kalem, I thought of was the svara. We shouldn't have to be told okay because of the same svara in my root. So he says it's a very good svara. He says, now go and tell Lola everything was wrong.
Okay. Right. Okay, so you have to know when to rely on svara. That's the difference between my svara and Rosh Hashanah's svara. Okay, I think there are also substantive reasons to distinguish, but not for now. Okay, once it left Tezayin, which is the Shiloh of Kalim. Sif Tezayim. Kalim Shabisha Bahem Ha'ovikaham Lefaneinu Dvarm Sheish Bahem Mishum Mishuli Akum. Kalim that a guy cooked in front of us. What did in front of us mean? We're sure it was all kosher, right? With Ashgacha. We know it was only kosher food, but he cooked Bishul Akum. Tzrichim Hechsher. First daya he brings is the daya of the Rashva, that they become traced, they need to be kashered. The Yeshomer She'enim Tzrichim, and some people say they don't need to be kashered. Machlokes Rishonim.
Someone remind me. Who's going to take responsibility and remind me to get new markers?
When do you want to remind me?
Okay. This is a fundamental machlokes rishonim. Kalim. The Rashba says usher, and the Rush says mutter. Okay. What's the svara? What's the svara of the Rush? Why should be mutter to eat food cooked in the kelim of Bishul Akum? Like, then a Jew cooks food. Why should the kelim, the kli, be kosher? Because if I eat the food the guy cooked, it might lead to chastas. What if I eat food cooked in the pot that the guy used? Will it lead to chastas? Say, a guy cooked spaghetti and meatballs in a pot. And then I cook soup in the pot and I eat it. Will that lead to chastas? Obviously not, right? The guy didn't cook me anything. So what does the Rush say mutter? Because using the kli will not lead to chasnos.
What?
Okay, say a little
bit more.
Well,
that doesn't make it
back.
Grief.
Well, hey, no, say the one low plug. No kli will ever lead to chasnos. The low plug, the kli will always mutter. Well, the Rush answer back? Right, the Rush will answer back because once the food is usher, it is chetzeshel iser, right? Meaning, once the bishul akum becomes treif, it's treif. The taste of treif foods is treif vizel.
You see, milky bread, like
the cane and egg. We said that was Rav Shechter had an article that I summarized. You that said it was telling in the Chakira there's really a chetzeshel machalas asuras, and he was no tel hakel because maybe it's not real machalas asuras. Basically, that's the same machlokas here. You're right, same longus. What's the machlokas? The Rash says, Bishul Akum is a chetz of machlokas asuras. While the Rush says, no, it's not machlokas asuras. It's just a chash chasnos. When you have a chash chasnos or a low plug of chasnos, it applies. When you don't have a low plug, it doesn't apply. Basically, argue whether it becomes treif or it's just usher to eat. That seems to be the machlokas. Briskas would call a chetz a gavra, right? A chetz a treif, and now once it's treif, the pot's treif. Or no? The gavra shouldn't eat it because it might lead to intermarriage. The heft is not really treif.
Rush would say the same thing as Stam Yenam.
No, I think he would not say the same thing as Stam Yenam. Why? Because Stam Yenam is a chashash of Yayin Nisuch, which is a heft of
Shalisser. That's the question.
Okay.
Stam Yenam is also because of Chasmus.
This is what it seems to be, if you'll excuse my personal question, but I think it's very appropriate here. Halacha Lemaisa. Rav had said his father Paskin, he had an asur from his father, like the Rush. Bishul Akum is not a real chetz shel iser, so you don't have to kasher the kelim. However, the main Tribune Poskim disagreed, the Aruch HaShulchan, and followed by all the modern day Poskim, and the Mishnah Berurah associated himself a few times. Okay, basically here you have the Gram Soloveitchik, but the Aruch HaShulchan and contemporary Poskim are all macher on this, like the Rashba. They think no. The simplest part is that once it's straight, it's straight. It's a chepta machalos asuros. Okay, so those lemaisa, talmidim and the rav are making on this legamri. Don't worry about it at all. However, most poskim do worry about it.
Is this? I think Ad Libnan would bring this up over Shabbat that there is leniency because of this, though. That, like, let's say if you have a clean bed. Can't normally be...
Okay, continuing. Even though you say you need to kasher the kelim like the Rashba, Emu klicheres. What if it's a klicheres that's not kasherable?
Shalosh pamim.
Mag ilo shalosh pamim da'i. You do hagola three times. That's good enough. Mei le'im le'isr ze'ekrim da'raisa. Because this isr is not based on the Torah. It's totally made up by the Rambam. This is a principle. Any isr that's not based in the Torah, you can do hagola three times and kasher klicheres. Why? Because the Gemara says you can't kasher klicheres. The simple shot of the Gemara and all the Rishonim say that no, that's what it leaves. The Gemara says you can't kasher the klicheres to agala. That's pashut. However, there's a Rishami that sounds like that's one time, but three times works. And the Bala Iter says, all right, let's review this. The Rishami says, for drabbanans, hagala three times is good enough. It's a cool in drabbanans. The machloksin, the Bala Iter and all the Rishonim is as such. The kula of that hagala gimel pe'amim. Mehani lekliheres the Isser Drabana. Only in Drabana they made a kula. You can do Abel three times in Kashrut. So the question is how far to take this. Says the Itter. If your Klicheres ever gets faked up, wait 24 hours. After you waited 24 hours, what level of Isser is it? Isser Drabana, and that can Kashrut three Klee time. So the Sefer Itter says you can Kashrut every Klicheres, wait 24 hours and Kashrut three times. He says, Achar me ace le ace, Eino ben yomo, Aser midrabanan, Umag ilo, Gimel pa'amim. According to the Sefer Ifta, you never have to throw out a treif dish, even if it's made of cheres. Wait 24 hours, now throw a bun, kasher three times. All the other Rishonim disagree. They say, no, he kilu rak. They weren't matter if you cook chazer and wait 24 hours, or if you cook bas v'chol and wait 24 hours. No, this kula is only the iser d'rabanan she'ein lo ikar v'doraisa. This kula is only for a very lenient d'rabanan, which is not rooted in the Torah. Not for an iser d'raisa that you wait 24 hours for. And not for chicken and milk, which is rooted in meat and milk in the Torah. This is only for things that have no root in the Torah whatsoever, like chalas chutzlars and trumas chutzlars, we assume are considered to have no root in the Torah. So they say, for example, truma nowadays, even though it's possible in the Drabanan, that has a root in the Torah, of truma d'oraisa. But truma in Egypt, that's considered pure Drabanan. Chala in New York is considered pure Drabanan. Bishul Akam is a pure Drabanan. So we possibly against the Iter. We possibly, all this trick only works for drabbanans that are not based in the Torah. But Bishul Akam is drabbanan with no basis in the Torah. It's totally made up by drabbanan. There's nothing, it's not similar to something treif midoraisa. It's a pure gzeira drabbanan. Whatever's a pure gzeira drabbanan, even if your plea becomes treif, you can always save it. Even if it's cheres, you can do it all three times, special kula. We don't like the iter, but in this case, everyone agrees because it has no paper in the Torah.
But don't you say that the plea cheres is no hagol because it doesn't work technically?
And that's a great question. So the simple shot is that here also it doesn't work technically, but since it's Drabanan, they gave you a kula so as to avoid hefsid. It's a good question. It probably needs more even. But let's leave it at that. Okay, just two more points, and then we have to end. First point is an important machlokas here between the Shach and the Gra. The Shach and the Gra disagree. What if the kli does become treif, and then you cook food in it? So it'll make your food treif. What's the sheer bittel of Bishul Akum? It comes up here at Gavurcha, it doesn't have to be here. Meaning, if you mix taste of Bishul Akum or actual Bishul Akum with other food, what's the sheer bittel of Bishul Akum? So this is a very, very fundamental machlokas. What is the sheer bittel shel Bishulei Akum? And since it's a little late, I will just read one line inside. Says the Shach, if yesh rov v'tavshel shard v'shuli adacham v'tail of a rov, says the Shach, rov, says the Gra, shishim. What are they comparing it to? The Gra says shishim, like all Isurim. The Shach says rov, like pasachim. It's mefurish, it's in Kuf Yud Beis, that pasachim is both of a rov. Here they have a very fascinating machlokas. Is Bishul Akum like pas akum both of a rove? Is that really such a chetzal iser? Or even if it, you have to figure out the rove wants to say that if it's both of a rove, we shouldn't trade off the kelim. If it's not the Lashishim, should trade up the cable. The Shach does not agree with that Taliyah. But Lemaisa, here we have a fundamental machlokas. The Gra says Bishlakum, it mixes with something else, but Rov says Bishach, like Pasakum. Gra says no, Pasakum, they were very makel because they have many kulas in Pasakum. But Bishlakum is a real Isser. It's but Lashishim, like everything else in the Torah. Halach Lemaisa, most postim seem to have agreed with the Shach here. Even though the Gra's love this a little better, most postim agree with the Shach that Bishlakum is but Rov like Pasakum. That we see that they didn't make it like a regular Isser. They were more makel. Okay. One last detail is the Rambah. Ovikachavish abishalachol b'shabbos, motel motzei shabbos, afilu lebari. If a goy cooks for a chol on Shabbos, why would a goy cook for a chol on Shabbos? Let's say someone's sick, but they're not dying. So a Jew is not allowed to work for them on Shabbos. But if someone's sick, you're allowed to tell a goy to work. So a guy's sick, he needs some food, so you tell a goy to cook for him. And it's bishalachim. Obviously the Jew can't help. It's Shabbos. How can the Jew help? Can't do any of the things to help. That would be Chol Shabbos, right? Bichayv Skila. So let's say you have a guy cook for a Chol on Shabbos. Says it's mutter to eat even after Shabbos. It's obviously mutter the Chol to eat it on Shabbos because he's sick. So they relax the restrictions. You're allowed to violate Bishul Akum for a Chol because it's a very light Yisur Darabanan that has no source in the Torah. So, but he says no. It's mutter even after Shabbos, even for a healthy person. The Emos Shabbishal Akum, the Chol Kiyagam, that Kira Ika, says the Ramah, they weren't Gozer Bishal Akum in cases where you needed to go to your cook because of Hilchos Shabbos. They were Gozer Bishal Akum in normal cases, but in cases of Amir La'akum on Shabbos is a very special case. It's obvious this is different. It's obvious this will not lead to regular eating of Bishal Akum. They didn't include this in their Gzeira. That's the Sheet of the Ramah. The Ramah says, and the Shach here agrees, the Ramah says that the Gzeir of Bishul Akum doesn't apply when you need to go to cook because of Hilchos Shabbos. The Taz here disagrees. And the Taz says, no, the Gzeir of Bishul Akum is across the board. Again, this seems to be coming from similar place. Like, is it really Chachma Kolos HaSuvers? Maybe it should also always apply. Or no, it depends on the circumstances. Usually it's an Indian of Chastos. But when you're using a Shabbos guy, that's not an Indian of Chastos. Okay, Lemaisa, this is a fundamental Machlokas. What about?
Ramah gives us fun, right?
There's a hecker. It's obvious that it's different. It's not even a little plug, right?
Where's the hecker?
The hecker means it's obvious it's a special case and you're using a goy for a special reason. That's what it means. It's obvious you're not stam having a goy cook for you. You're only having him cook for you because of Shabbos. That's the hecker.
This has
to be square.
Is there any hecker on Shabbos? Once the Shabbos goes back. There's no hecker on
this chesed,
so this goes back to the visual.
Correct.
Even
so
the Ramah. Even the
Chodakani. And then Kudas HaKesef say Mutter. You're saying, Shmuley says, but there's no hecker in the food. It's just in the circumstance. Of course, there's no hecker a guy ever cooked it in the food, so maybe that's not a good title. If you look at the food, you don't know a guy cooked it. If you know a guy cooked it, then you know why. And the Taz says, oh, sir. Taz says, no, Bishul Akum is Bishul Akum. Doesn't depend on the circumstances. But the Ramban, the Guzgas say it depends on the circumstances. Halakha Lemaisa, the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Shin Yud Ches, Bishul B'Shabbos is Soser himself. But most of the, if you look in the Pesach Tshuva, quotes the Hachos Adam. And the later Achronim, were Machver on the food against the Ramban. Many of the Achronim Machver don't eat the food because the simple shot of Bishul Akum is Bishul Akum. However, don't worry about the pot he cooked in. Because after all, according to the Rush, there's no problem anyway. Right? That's a good svekstaka. Maybe it was the food was mutter in the first place, like the Ramah. And even if there's a problem with Bishul Akum, maybe the pot's mutter like the Rush. So therefore they say for sure, and then B'chak Ledin says for sure after 24 hours, don't worry about the pot. So Lamai said the mainstream Akronim were makra on the food. It's not so posh. Most Akronim seem to be makra on the food against the Ramah. But nonetheless, you don't have to be makra on the pot. That would be going too far. Usually, this might happen. I don't know if this happens so much nowadays. Like, usually nowadays we have enough food in our houses that's cooked, pre-cooked, because we have refrigeration and such, that we usually don't need people to cook for a whole. Like, this whole thing, oh, someone has to cook food, someone's sick on Shabbos, doesn't speak to us. Because we already have cooked food in the refrigerator. Just like, you know, warm it up a little, you know, eat it lukewarm. In those days, when they had no cooked food, edible food in the house, you know, it was more of an issue. Nowadays, it's less of a practical issue. Okay, we'll pick up next year, Amir Tashem, from the beginning of Siman Kuf Chaf.
There is Shira on Sunday.
There is Shira on Sunday.
Yom Yishlam.
Yom Yishlam is a regular Shira day. When is Rikuz Megaleh?
I don't know.